I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 13th of April, Monday at 1, all things political. And today, we, of course, will start, and I would imagine spend a substantial portion of this hour discussing Hillary Clinton's entering the 2016 presidential race. She did so yesterday. It's not a big surprise. She talked about fighting for American families so they can get ahead and stay ahead. Commentators are saying she needs to dispel any air of entitlement. What did she learn from the 2008 race? Is this a candidacy that you're welcoming, or have you grown tired of the Clintons? Have you grown tired of the Bushes? Marco Rubio is going to be announcing his presidential candidacy in downtown Miami. He has made it clear to major donors that he is running as well. Our guest this hour is Matt Visor. He's a reporter in the Washington Bureau of the Boston Globe, covers the White House, national politics, covered the 2012 presidential election, closely following Mitt Romney. He has covered Congress and the Massachusetts delegation, and he has written some interesting pieces. If Jeb Bush is the Republican nominee, he says that Iraq is a topic that poses political challenges for candidates in both parties, including Hillary Rodham Clinton, and Jeb Bush would be prepared to be the third Bush to use the military in Iraq. He also has written recently about half a dozen of the reddest of southern red states aiming to band together and hold a Southern Super Tuesday on the earliest possible date. Congress is back at work today after a two-week recess, and we'll be looking at the proposed nuclear deal with Iran with our guest Matt, and also that Attorney General confirmation vote, which we talk about endlessly because it hasn't happened yet, and Medicare fix. So those are just a few of the items we'll be covering this hour. We'll be starting with Hillary Clinton and her announcement. She's taking a van from New York to Iowa, and we'll be meeting with regular people. In case you missed her announcement, it is a well-done video. Here is part of what she had to say when she announced via internet yesterday. Hillary Clinton.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead, because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
We'll be welcoming phone calls during the course of the hour. Our number, as always, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hello, Matt. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. I thought it interesting she used this theme of everyday Americans. It seems to me as though she has to portray herself, and I don't know if she can be successful doing this as somebody who can not only champion everyday Americans, but who has a touch of that in herself as well.
I thought it was interesting. It takes, you know, the video is maybe a little over 2 minutes, and it takes about a minute and a half before we see Hillary Clinton in it at all. You know, I mean, the emphasis is really on other people besides herself, which is interesting, and I think, you know, planned and clearly planned as a direct contrast to 2008 when she was running a different type of campaign than they're trying to run this time around.
Mm-hmm. It actually is very nicely done. It really is inclusive. You have a gay couple about to get married. You have Latinos. You have Asian Americans. You have people who are just getting started in the workforce and those who are retiring. And I guess they were all real people from what I've read. Is that true?
I believe so. I think the Des Moines Register in Iowa has tracked down some of those people, very carefully staged by the Clinton campaign to have people from Iowa, where she is currently on a bus heading that way.
So do you think she needs to make the case for why it is she wants to be president? We keep hearing, you know, this entitlement part to this campaign. Does she need to really figure that out? And if so, what would a strong case be for her to be president?
I think that's the thing that everybody's waiting to hear from her is what is it that's driving her to be president, other than the idea of being president? And what are the issues that motivate her? What is her campaign going to be all about? And we get a little taste of that from the video, and interestingly, sort of highlighting a lot of domestic policy issues, particularly the economy, and not mention of foreign policy, an issue that Hillary Clinton, you know, she spent the first term of the Obama administration as Secretary of State. She's certainly well versed in foreign affairs, but at least in her rollout, it's been focused on the economy, the middle class. And I think those things are interesting issues for her, and I think that she's got to, though, articulate a little bit more about what's driving the candidacy. And she doesn't have any big speeches planned for, you know, about 6 weeks. You know, so this early rollout, they're very cautious and trying to keep it as low-key as possible.
It's so ironic, isn't it, that she and probably the Republicans as well will be campaigning for the everyday people in this country, and yet she's going to be raising, I mean, this is unbelievable, $2.5 billion, the most expensive race in history. The Republicans will be raising $2.5 billion. Right, everybody's speaking for the everyday people, right?
and trying to target people who make, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year, while they're spending an awful lot of time courting big donors, you know, in some cases who can, you know, write, you know, multi-million dollar checks to super PACs and keep these campaigns afloat. You know, what was striking last week, another piece of news, was Ted Cruz raising somewhere on the order of $35 million for his super PAC operations, which is an incredible amount of money that can keep Ted Cruz going for an awful long time. And he raised that in, you know, about a week and a half's time. So largely on the back, you know, of several big donors, rather. So it is a striking contrast between the amount of money, who that money is coming from, and how that contrasts with the campaign messages that we're hearing from Hillary Clinton, as well as other. I mean, Jeb Bush is talking about this a lot, about, you know, rise up, you know, and sort of rising the middle class. You know, there's a lot of that campaign rhetoric that is a little bit different from sort of where they're getting their money.
Right. Is it a foregone conclusion when you look at the possible opponents for Hillary Clinton? Senator Elizabeth Warren has been mentioned frequently. She says no, no, no. Former Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, Martin O'Malley of Maryland, Senator Bernie Sanders, Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island. It would appear when you look at some of these early polls that are out that none of these, Joe Biden, if I didn't mention him, are getting any traction at all. It does seem inevitable at this point in time that she will be the nominee, doesn't it?
At this time, yes. And people have kind of pointed to 8 years ago at a similar period where she also sort of seemed inevitable. Nobody at this time would have predicted
it's
Barack
true.
Obama. The difference, though, is that there isn't anybody even in the conversation like Barack Obama this time around. Martin O'Malley maybe comes the closest. I mean, he has a resume that you would think would stand out in a presidential contest. But the caliber of candidates just is not that deep that Hillary Clinton would be facing. And she has an incredibly dominant position in the polls, you know, that it's hard to imagine, you know, there being a contest. I mean, it's tough to predict, but if anyone had to predict now, it is kind of a foregone conclusion. And the contrast is remarkable, actually, between the Republican candidates. You think about just the debates. Republicans may not even be able to fit everybody on the same stage
exactly.
in their debates. Whereas in the Democratic side, I mean, they maybe need a couple of podiums, but there's not been a lot of talk about even having debates, you know, so far, just because there's not as vibrant of a field.
Yeah, well, it still is so far away. It's just amazing how we start this so early, don't we?
Yeah.
What about this, and we'll get to the Bushes in a moment, but what about this idea, enough is enough, we had the Clintons as Secretary of State, New York Senator, the President, Bill Clinton, for two terms. Have people grown tired of the Clintons? Have they grown tired of the Bushes?
It's interesting. I mean, even, you know, Barbara Bush, you know, the matriarch of the Bush family, made a comment about a year ago when people were talking about her son or her her son Jeb running, and she said that, you know, there are other families in America who can, you know, have presidential candidates besides the Bushes and the Clintons, you know, and I think she's, you know, she's right. It sort of expresses the sentiment of a lot of people. She's since kind of distanced herself a little bit from that, but I think that that's the question, is whether people are tired of these two families. You know, it's an incredibly long
it is
string of them running, and we, you know, the Marco Rubio getting in the race today is, you know, testing that almost. I mean, he's much younger than Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush, you know, trying to run on youth and kind of a new and a fresher face than Jeb Bush, actually his mentor Jeb Bush, you know, and Hillary Clinton. So I think that's going to be tested a little bit this time. They both the Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton have incredible advantages going into this election season, but that's their main impediment is whether people are tired of having the same two families involved.
You mentioned, Matt, that Hillary didn't talk about foreign policy. She was Secretary of State and all over the world and working very hard for quite some time. You wrote an interesting piece about Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. Jeb Bush preparing to be the third Bush to use the military in Iraq, and obviously Iraq posing a political challenge, as you write, for Hillary Clinton as well, whose vote to authorize George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq bedeviled her 2008 presidential campaign. It's interesting. It does go way back, and it makes you wonder if foreign policy will be something that, if Bush is the Republican nominee, either of these candidates would want to talk about very much.
Right. And I think that Iraq presents an interesting problem for both of them. You know, Jeb Bush has talked about putting troops back into Iraq. And I think that could potentially pose some issues for him, you know, given the unpopularity of the Iraq war under his brother, President George W. Bush. And it was interesting. Jeb Bush yesterday was sort of critical of Hillary Clinton on foreign policy. So it's almost it could be an interesting sort of contrast where Republicans try and take the perceived strength of Hillary Clinton and criticize her on that. You know, Hillary Clinton is associated very closely with the Obama administration, which, if we believe the polls, is not very popular right now on foreign affairs. So I think that there will be efforts to sort of attach her to some of the unpopular policies. But you got to see on a debate stage, she's definitely well-versed and has far more experience, at least, on foreign issues than any of the Republican candidates. So that could potentially create an interesting dynamic once they get to the general election debate.
Do you know who's guiding her campaign, Matt? Is it former Obama advisors, people who were instrumental in getting him elected?
There are several, actually, you know, particularly with the Ready for Hillary group. Jim Messina, who was the mastermind behind a lot of President Obama's campaigns. He was the campaign manager in 2012. It was heavily involved with that effort and is expected to sort of play some role in the campaign. There's kind of a diverse group of people in Hillary's orbit right now that she's recruited, various sort of Democratic campaign staffers, some tied with Obama, some tied with Clinton in the past. But that's always been an issue with the Clintons, I think, is they're trying to not have the drama that they're known for in the past of a lot of campaign infighting and people not all being on the same page and those kind of those internal disputes sort of seeping out into the public. You know, I think that happened a lot in 2008, and they're trying to prevent that from happening again. Another point of contrast that's interesting is the role of Bill Clinton, who, you know, it was not mentioned in the video, has a little mention on her new campaign website, but generally is not sort of in the foreground on anything. So it would be interesting to see how they use Bill Clinton during the campaign.
It's early. I can't help but think he's going to be around big time, don't you think?
I do, yeah. And I think that he's kind of pleased to have a background role at this point, but once it gets really, you know, intense, he'll certainly be I don't think anybody can kind of keep him away.
Right. Matt Visor is our guest for All Things Political for this Monday. He's in the Washington Bureau of the Boston Globe, covers the White House, national politics, covered the 2012 presidential election, following very closely Mitt Romney. He's covered Congress. And we're talking about, well, the big political news over the weekend is Hillary Clinton. It's not a surprise, but perhaps the way that she told everybody that she was running, you saw a video for well over a minute before you even saw Hillary Clinton. And if you haven't seen it, it's an interesting and I think pretty well done video. So she's a candidate and her poll numbers, you know, are pretty darn high right now. We hear rumblings that there might be somebody who will challenge Hillary Clinton. It's early. Who knows if that will happen? But so far, all the people who have been discussed as potential challengers just aren't polling very well at all, whereas she is doing pretty well. She's got 59% of Democratic voters now saying there was a good chance that they would vote for her. Marco Rubio also announcing later today. We'll spend more time talking about Marco Rubio this hour. We'll talk more about Scott Walker. Matt has written about Scott Walker. We'll talk about Congress. And but the question for you, at the least at the top of the show, is would you consider yourself one of those voters, be you a Democrat or a Republican or an independent? Is there a good chance that you would vote for Hillary Clinton? So here's how you reach us. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we have tons of phone calls, lots of emails. Matt Visor is our guest, reporter in the Washington Bureau for the Boston Globe, covering the White House and national politics. 800-486-8655 is our number. Sarah in Winona, our first caller. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
So I listened this morning also, and I am wondering if Hillary is going to spend $2 billion on this campaign. Maybe she can redo some of the work that her husband did by signing the trade with China that happened back in the early 90s that has caused us to have a huge debt that then the Bushes perpetuated with the war. Maybe if she's going to spend $2 billion, she could have some of that stuff stamped made in the United States with only 9% of our manufacturing happening here. And a minute and a half video saying, hey, I want to be all about families and I want to support you. How do you support the American people if nobody can get jobs here because all of our jobs are out of the country?
You think that will be an issue, Matt? Trade agreements?
Yeah, and we're sort of already seeing some of the trade, particularly, you know, President Obama has been seeking some approval on trade agreements with Europe, and that's kind of a work in progress. They need congressional approval to do some of that. And Hillary Clinton, I don't believe she has expressed any position yet on that. She will most certainly have to, you know, as the campaign continues, and it'll be interesting to see sort of where she comes out on that.
And we go to Nancy next in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I'd like to start by saying I did vote for Bill Clinton twice. But now when I look at either Bill or Hillary, all I see is slime dripping off of both of them. And the reason I say that is that when Hillary decided to run for the Senate, she didn't choose to run for the senator from Arkansas, where she lived many years, or from Illinois, where she lived even more years. She chose to run for the senator from New York, where they had never lived, and where they bought a multi-million dollar house so that they could establish citizenship there, or I should say residency. My feeling is that when she talks about running for the little person, being the champion for the little person, she turned her back on all the little people in both Arkansas and Illinois. I also would like to say that everybody who ever considers voting for Hillary should try to get a hold of, from the library, last October's issue of Harper's Magazine, where they are running, at that time, an article called Stop Hillary. which greatly magnifies and totally explains every one of their dirty dealings.
Nancy,
I certainly would not vote for Hillary just to have a woman in the White House. We need to have a person in the White House who is ultimately skilled.
Who would you like to vote for, Nancy?
And economic decisions, and certainly listening to the Secretary of Defense.
Yes, Nancy, who would you like to vote for?
Another war.
Who would you like to vote for, Nancy?
Well, after Clinton left office, I voted for Ralph Nader twice, and then and then after that, I voted for Obama.
Okay. Well, I don't know who you would like to vote for now, but we can ask that question of our audience as well. She brings, you know, I have to believe you can just imagine the number of people who are doing research on Hillary Clinton right now, and the ads have already appeared on the from the Republicans. She has to be. I mean, she's been through some stuff that's been pretty rigorous, and some would say not very fair. Both of the Clintons, but there is a wide range of material: the emails, you know, the fact that she's less than forthcoming with the press. I mean, who knows what's out there, and the Republicans are going to be scouring everything this go around, don't you think, Matt?
I do, and that's why I feel like the recent revelations about her emails and the fact that she did not have a State Department email address and had set up a server or was utilizing a server out of their home in New York to store her emails. I do feel like because that plays into this wider concern and this wider narrative about Hillary Clinton and the Clintons generally feeling the sense that they're above it and they're the entitlement sort of aspect to them.
Right.
And that I feel like that could be a longer lasting damaging narrative that she will have to find a way to overcome. Who knows what's in the emails themselves? The State Department's reviewing those right now. But just the idea that she was, you know, sort of subverting the normal process at the State Department plays into a damaging story for her.
And the way that it was handled was not very well. I have to say, it was sort of the way she said the whole thing. On second thought, I should have used two emails. Well, yes, of course you should have used two emails. You know, it's not, don't play a victim here. You did the wrong thing. And there's a way to say that so that it seems genuine, I think, and a way to
say
that.
And it took them several days. It took them several days of just letting it drag out where they almost, it almost felt like they didn't think that they needed to respond. And they did eventually when they absolutely had to. But, you know, it did take some time.
Tim on Facebook says, I am fine with Hillary as a candidate, and I'm sure she will do fine, but I want to talk about Elizabeth Warren. Senator Warren did an interview with Jon Stewart last week, and by the end of it, I was misty-eyed with the thought that somebody thinks like me. Stewart referred to the Warren wing of the Democratic Party, and it made me think, when did common sense become a wing? She fights the big banks, and she understands the madness of student loans. Ms. Warren, if you hear this, please, please, capital PLEASE, run for president.
He's certainly capturing a sentiment, I think, that's out there. I mean, a lot of people have been trying to get Elizabeth Warren to run. She's denied every which way that she will or is thinking about it or could possibly do it. But I think that's another, I think, risk for Hillary Clinton is she's not speaking to the same people that Elizabeth Warren is, and
right.
She doesn't energize people in the same way. So there is a passionate fervor for Warren that may not be there, at least not right now, for Hillary Clinton. And as we were talking about earlier about Barack Obama in 2008, nobody expecting him. Elizabeth Warren could play a similar role as Barack Obama did, you know, 8 years ago. The difference is that Elizabeth Warren is doing nothing to prepare and nothing to sort of get ready for a presidential campaign. Barack Obama was well underway at this point 8 years ago.
And we don't mean to be giving short shrift to Marco Rubio. It's just there are a lot of Republican candidates, and Hillary seems to be the candidate, at least at this point in time. Let's talk a little bit more about Marco Rubio. Could he be a sleeper in this field? Could he really rise to prominence?
I think so. I mean, Rubio is somebody who was a lot more prominent, I think, at least in Washington, you know, in sort of political circles a year or so ago. I mean, he was very much in the mix on an immigration reform bill, you know, and sort of very active and sort of being talked about. And he sort of, you know, went underground a little bit or became less of a focus. But I think he has a lot of strengths, and I think he could be a really interesting candidate who could in fact be a sleeper, particularly if people are tired of, on the Republican side, tired of the Bushes. Rubio is a fresh face. He is Hispanic. He has an interesting life story that I think could be inspiring to a lot of people. And, you know, as he announces today, it will be interesting to see sort of what themes he hits right out of the gate. There's a personally interesting dynamic between him and Jeb Bush as well, where Jeb Bush, as Florida governor, was sort of a mentor to Marco Rubio, and now they're sort of competing against one another for the nomination.
Let's go to Karen in Madison. Hi, Karen.
Hi. You asked the question, whom would we want to vote for? And I think James Webb is a very underappreciated candidate. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know that I don't have all the relevant facts at my fingertips, but he did an amazing job as Secretary of the Navy. I know that he's been a senator. I know he has great progressive outlook on things. Mm-hmm. And I think he should be part of the mix. I think he should be part of the discussion. I think people forget about him.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. An economic populist, but certainly, I wouldn't call him a hardliner on foreign affairs, but certainly more... Well, knows his stuff when it comes to foreign affairs, and maybe more hardliner than some of the other Democratic candidates. He's an interesting mix, isn't he? But he's not really going anywhere, Matt. Doesn't appear to be.
No, he's in Iowa right now, I think. And it's amazing. He's in Iowa meeting in small groups, doing the sorts of things that Hillary Clinton pledges she'll do. But all of the attention is on Hillary Clinton, who is, you know, on a bus and, you know, The fact that she stopped for gas in Pennsylvania got more attention than Jim Webb actually in Iowa. So, I mean, I think it's a challenge right now for candidates like Jim Webb to compete just for attention. But he is doing the work. I mean, he is doing sort of the small things that a candidate would need to do to maybe peak later in the cycle here. He does have an interesting background. I think Webb is one of those people who could capture the same excitement that Elizabeth Warren does, in sort of the more populist area
Yes.
of the party.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Karen, for bringing up a perhaps underappreciated candidate, certainly undermentioned. Let's go to Adam. Adam is calling from Gill's Rock. Hi, Adam.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. Had to take you off speaker there. So,
Thank you.
Basically, I will not be voting for Hillary. And the reason being is that Hillary's shown me no... She's basically just another politician in Washington that doesn't want to do any compromising. She's shown that in her years in the... in legislation, and I feel like, you know, how do we expect any big change in this country if we continue on the path where we basically are voting in the same kind of politicians every single election?
Mm-hmm. Adam, who would you be interested in voting for, or at least?
I'm not extremely impressed so far, nor I probably won't be, but I guess if I had to choose one, although I'm a middle-of-the-road guy, I'd probably say Rand Paul. I feel like his compromising has gone farther, and he has a different brand of politics that impresses me. His father, actually, I liked quite a bit. I don't know as much about Rand Paul right now. I have to do some research on him yet. But I just feel like, you know, how do we ever expect this country to become more unified, which I think is one of our biggest issues societally, politically, whatever way you want to say. We're so divided, and basically we're just going from one extreme to the other, and I just feel like, you know, what result do we expect to get if we're just going to play this game where, how can we expect anything different to change if we just keep on electing the same kind of people?
Yeah, thanks, Adam, very much. We are divided. Boy, oh boy, are we divided. What about Rand Paul? He is, when you look at the lot of people, he is an interesting politician. He's an interesting guy. Do you think there's a chance that, and people who like him are wildly enthusiastic, and he polls pretty well in some of these important states. What about him, Matt?
I think Rand Paul is very interesting, and what he's trying to do is interesting, which is partly to broaden the tent of the Republican Party. Rand Paul has been campaigning in a lot of college towns, which is typically young people are not as enthusiastic of Republican supporters. And I think Rand Paul is trying to court that segment of the electorate. And it'll be interesting to see sort of how Rand Paul does. A lot of people know him because of his father, Ron Paul, who's had extraordinarily passionate supporters, but struggled to sort of build a broader base of support. And Rand Paul is trying to broaden that base and talk to a wider swath of the electorate. But I think the other interesting thing that the caller is pointing out is this idea of divisiveness and needing somebody new and somebody who maybe is not a career politician. Rand Paul's slogan is defeat the Washington machine, unleash the American dream. You know, so he's certainly trying to tap into that. On the other hand, he is a senator. He's making his living right in Washington right now. But it's sort of running against the idea of Washington, which I think is harder for Hillary Clinton to do. Jeb Bush is a former governor, in that sense, you know, he's from Florida, but the Bush name, I think, makes that just hard to run against politics mm-hmm. as usual, given that his family has occupied the White House for 12 of the last 20 years.
We haven't talked about Scott Walker, and I know you did a piece fairly recently. Walker's strategy raising concerns about his core convictions and threatens to take him out of the top tier of candidates. That hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, I think Scott Walker is also among the people that are talked about quite a bit, actually. I mean, he is somebody who is not of Washington, you know. He is somebody who can claim, you know, middle-class background. You know, he talks about shopping at Kohl's, and you know, I was at an event in New Hampshire where Scott Walker talked about buying a sweater for $1, you know, the day before. You know,
right.
So I think that he has an interesting background. The thing which we wrote about was about he's moved to the right on several issues, Common Core, education standards. He's been in several different places on immigration and ethanol mandates for farmers. He's been a couple different places on. So I think that there have been some questions about his core convictions. He's sort of changing some of his positions. Some of them, admittedly, some of them he sort of disputes that he's changed. But it's a position that other candidates in the past, or a trap that other candidates have fallen into, Mitt Romney being one of them, who sort of became much more conservative as he sought the Republican nomination than he was as a governor of a blue state, Massachusetts.
Thanks very much, Adam, for your call. Let's go to Lee in Menasha. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Well, I saw the video, and I just think that maybe it could have encompassed more of her background and more of her history. Like, maybe if there was some footage of when she worked on the Watergate investigation. I mean, granted, she was fired from that for being unethical, but maybe some footage of when she was on the board of Walmart would be something to kind of show she has some business experience, or maybe, like, if there's any footage of what was going on with the whole Whitewater thing, or... You know, and she's really good at, like, investigating things, like the way she was spying on all those European nations. And, you know, maybe what the commercial was really lacking was, you know, maybe the voting when she voted to invade Iraq, and maybe some footage of Iraq being bombed and all those hundreds of thousands of people she murdered. Maybe some of that footage was what her campaign commercial was missing.
All right, Lee, thanks for the call. Matt, would you like to respond?
I think all of that footage may, you know, may be used in an RNC
yes,
ad.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think there's, you know, there's footage there. I mean, Hillary Clinton, this gets to one of your earlier points, is there's a long record that Hillary Clinton has, and some of it, it will not be looked upon favorably. You know, and I think that that all will come out. I mean, there will be plenty of, there's plenty of material, I think, for people to use,
yeah.
Whether you like or you dislike Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And her footage, obviously, you know, it was very little footage of her. It was mostly other people, and her, at least in her introductory ad.
Yeah. There are people who really don't like her.
It's amazing. I mean, and you know, how solidified opinion is
yes.
on Hillary Clinton, you know, and I think... if you like her, you love her. If you don't like her, you hate her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's going to, you know, it's hard for people to change their opinions of somebody. And it's so I think that's probably the challenge that Hillary Clinton will face. Maybe not in the Democratic primary, but certainly in the general election.
Absolutely in the general. Yeah. Matt Visor is our guest for All Things Political this Monday. Matt works in Washington for the Boston Globe. He's in the Washington Bureau and covers the White House, national politics. And he's also written about coffee on the Globe's Double Shot page, which is kind of an interesting page, a cup of Joe Biden. He writes, all you need to know about the differences in personality and temperament between Joe Biden and Barack Obama is this. Biden drinks coffee and Obama drinks tea. It does say a lot, doesn't it? I'm a coffee drinker, if you want to know the truth. KP is a coffee drinker, but I should drink more tea. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour we are, because of the announcement, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about Hillary Clinton, so we're talking about her announcement, Marco Rubio's announcement, and taking a look at now that everybody's entering where the field is. But before we go to more phone calls at 800-486-8655, I do want to talk for just a moment, Matt, about this proposed nuclear deal with Iran now that Congress is back, and what's going to happen with it? What is going to happen?
Yeah, we'll get more clarity on this, I think, over the next couple of days. This will be the first time Congress returns since the deal was announced. So we've seen several people comment on television talk shows and things, or put out statements. But I mean, it's going to be an interesting situation. Republicans, even Democrats, do not seem willing to go along with at least the framework deal. So there's going to be some changes and a lot of discussions. Bob Corker is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He has a very important role. He's a Republican from Tennessee, and the White House has been very eager to speak with him and get him on board with this, but so far he's not. So I think it's going to take a lot of convincing from the Obama administration and from John Kerry to get people on board with this, because they could sort of derail the whole thing without lifting some of the sanctions, or taking a vote that they won't lift the sanctions. I think will be a challenge. Even Chuck Schumer, you know, the number three Democrat in the Senate, and the person who will take over Harry Reid's job most likely, and when Harry Reid leaves at the end of his term, is against the current deal. So I think it's going to be a challenge.
Well, the way that it's all come about, and the opposition to the president and the invitation to Netanyahu and the letter written by the Republicans, it's just, oh my goodness, talk about people not being able to get on the same page or figuring out what their congressional responsibilities might be. It's just been horrible.
And from a political perspective, people were sort of dug in against it before they realized what it was.
Yes,
you know,
right,
people were
right.
Against whatever was going to emerge. So even if what emerged was a pretty good deal by many estimations,
exactly,
they've already said they're against it. So,
right. So what are you going
to
do?
It makes it hard to for them to come around. So yeah. It's possible that some of this is posturing to sort of continue to be opposed to it and then find some way out. But I think it's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Katie in Germantown. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess my comment would be, I'm not a huge fan of Hillary, but I don't really have anything against her. She's just not, I'm a younger voter, I'm 26, so she's not somebody that I would want to get out there and campaign for. I really hope Bernie Sanders decides to run. He's somebody that really excites me and somebody that would get me out there doing some grassroots campaigning for him.
Mm-hmm. I see your point. I wonder if she doesn't speak for a lot of young people and all kinds of people, actually. If you're looking at a Clinton-Bush, how many people are going to get out there and be excited about a candidate and lobby and do rallies and make phone calls? And it was a whole different thing, particularly for the Democrats in 2008. It was just a whole different thing, I think. And maybe not. I don't know.
I think that... if you're a Democrat, a lot of Democrats, even if ultimately you'll support Hillary Clinton, people want a competition. You know, they want to see somebody work for it, and
yes,
there's not that competition at least at the moment. I mean, maybe Bernie Sanders will catch fire at some point. Jim Webb or Martin O'Malley or somebody that we're not talking about will emerge, but at least right now, you know, there's just not a competition to kind of get people excited and get mm-hmm. people engaged the way that there was. And it was hard to beat the drama in 2008 between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama vying for that nomination. And the Republican Party had a drawn-out nomination as well. You know, McCain wrapped it up earlier. But, you know, it was exciting, and I think that got people engaged.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see this time how engaged people actually become.
Katie mentioned Bernie Sanders. What role does he play?
I think Bernie Sanders, he is – sort of an irascible kind of Vermont senator with a Brooklyn accent. You know, he's a very progressive socialist would be, you know, the way, you know, maybe he even describes himself that way. But he's very liberal and, you know, will speak his mind. And I mean, I think on a debate stage, you know, he could, you know, give Hillary Clinton or pull her a little bit to the left. Again, it's hard to see him sort of breaking out on a national scale or becoming
right.
too much of a threat. But he's definitely an interesting character for sure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Katie. Steve in Plum City. Hi.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I have to say, if people really believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be the champion for the little people, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to try and sell them. You asked who do I favor. Right now, I don't know off the top of my head who it is that would exist that would fit ideally the bill I would love. I could see somebody like a seasoned Jimmy Carter, one who had learned lessons from his term in office about how not to deal with Congress, but who had his integrity. The closest I can think of right now would be Jerry Brown out of California, to be honest with you.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Matt?
Yeah, Jerry Brown, I mean, this would be, you know, he ran in 1992, you know, it would be... He'd be an older candidate, but you know, I think Jerry Brown, you know, is interesting. I think he's kind of publicly kept the door open just a little bit.
Has he really
to running? Yeah,
huh.
I think he said something, you know, maybe a month or two ago.
Huh.
But it's hard to see Jerry Brown getting back in.
Yeah, he looks good. I mean, doesn't he? He's
enjoying his job in California. You know, I mean, despite
right.
the drought, and they've got some issues to deal with, but.
They do have some issues. It's a big issue. Thanks very much, Steve, for your call. Jim in Hollandale. Hi.
Hi. I would dearly love to see Elizabeth Warren be out there. I mean, I can't vote for Hillary. I would never vote for a Republican anyway. But I vote every time, have since I was of legal age to vote. And people that are destroying the integrity of the country. I mean, the citizens of this country have a sort of a common sense understanding that their position in the world is severely at risk now, since Wall Street's back in the same position it was in 2008. And Elizabeth Warren is the only one that said anything about that. She's the only one with any integrity at all, as far as I know, that's running. I'd be interested in your opinion of that.
And I think you use a word that's an important word, integrity, who has integrity. And is that important to us, Matt, as we vote?
Yeah, and I do think that Elizabeth Warren, you know, her political career is very young. I mean, she's only been in office since 2012, and she was a first-time politician. You know, she came as a Harvard Law professor, you know, studying bankruptcy law. So, you know, she's new to not only the political stage but the national stage. So I do feel like we can – it's easy in that stage to project on her our hopes and our dreams and sort of what we want out of a politician. But she does seem very – you know, like she does have a lot of integrity. She speaks her mind.
Yes.
She has a lot of background in economic issues, and she's studied it as a professor, and she's trying to implement that into law as a senator. So I think that that's – attractive to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Her message about the system being rigged and the middle class not getting a fair shake, you know, as she says things, you know, and she has a folksy way of talking.
Yes, she does.
Attracts her to a lot of people, you know, and I think that there is a market for that. You know, she she's not sort of seizing the opportunity to run for president and all the, you know, negative aspects of that come with running for president at the moment.
She does appear to be, and when you think about a lot of candidates, everybody just seems as though they're scripted and they've got all these handlers who are figuring out what the message should be. And when you find somebody like Warren, even if you don't agree with what she says, she just seems to be genuine with what she's saying. She seems to have integrity, and she speaks her mind, and she's not flashy about it, and it hasn't been handled by 50 different political handlers. She's just there telling us, you know, and she's informed.
And so much of our politics right now is scripted, you know, and poll tested, and, you know, they know what they're going to say even before they say it. And that's not always the case, I think, with Warren. I mean, she'll surprise you, you know, and she'll say things in a way that you don't typically hear politicians say them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's attractive to a lot of people. And it's evident from, you know, just the past hour where several people calling in and saying that they like her and they like her ideas and they wish she'd run.
Right. Let's go next to Jerry in Chippewa. Hi, Jerry. Getting close on the end of the show. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I wonder if the guests would know anything about Jeb Bush being with Lehman Brothers. And before that, I think he was with a bank. I'm not sure. That went belly up, too. So he was with I think Lehman Brothers was an investment bank, and the one that he was with before, I'm not sure, but it was a bank. But if he would know anything about that.
Yeah, I must say, I don't know a whole lot about what he's been doing since he was governor, which was some time ago. He has a resume to fill in, doesn't he, Matt?
He does, and the business background is one that has not been fully explored.
I see.
I do know vaguely, you know, some of what the caller is talking about in terms of, you know, he was involved with some efforts to prop up Lehman Brothers when it was sort of weighed down by all the mortgage-backed securities, you know, around 2008 in that time frame. You know, Jeb Bush in his post gubernatorial years, he left office in 2007. And he went, and he was on various boards. He gave paid speeches. He did a lot of activity that I think will now come under the scrutiny of a presidential campaign about what his business career looks like, various associations that he was with, including, you know, Lehman Brothers and other. He did some other investment banking issues as well. I am... so far more familiar with his efforts in terms of education, and he was doing a lot of education reform issues, and that's been sort of the most recent thing that Bush has done, which has tied him to the Common Core standards that have become fairly unpopular in the Republican Party. But I think his business background will be, you know, deeply scrutinized by us and others sort of as the campaign continues. Some people have said that he may have problems like Mitt Romney, where Romney had so much activity in his business history that became controversial, and that he did some controversial business dealings that it sort of weighed down.
You'll be investigating it.
Campaign.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, so much for being with us. Interesting hour. Matt Visor, our guest, reporter with the Washington Bureau of the Boston Globe. He covers the White House and covers national politics as well. All things political is what you always hear Mondays at 1 o'clock here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to K.P. Whaley for producing the hour and to K.P. Whaley as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Thanks for listening.